Good morning. I'd like to welcome you this morning on behalf of my brothers and our Lord and Savior. And thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning. Certainly the Lord has given us a beautiful sunny day, albeit a little chilly. It's been so long, it's been gray and dark. It really was a pleasure this morning to go out and scrape frost off my windshield and see the sunshine. I want to thank Megan and Shelby for ministry this morning and our sister Jackie for playing. As we get into the service a bit, our first hymn will be a Christmas song, and I was a little concerned about bringing a Christmas hymn after Christmas, and I checked with Jackie, and she said that'd be just fine, so we're good on that. You might have noticed that Brother Dan Brown is not up here. He had originally been selected to be up here, I guess is the term, but because of his family situation, he wasn't able to be here, and my brother Phil has graciously accepted that responsibility, and we thank him for coming forward this morning. Brother Harry will be bringing our message this morning, and looking forward to it. It'll be the first time I've heard Brother Harry speak, so I've enjoyed many times listening to Joe bring the message, and we'll have our opportunity to see where he maybe gets some of that from as Harry brings that message this morning and feeds the sheep. This morning our call to worship is out of Genesis. It's the one that was selected. I'd like to read just a little bit more of it. The setting is that Enoch is talking to the Lord, and he's got a number of questions that are troubling him. He's concerned about the future, and the Lord is trying to share with him and bring him, I think, some in a way, words of comfort that things will be okay. But there's still things that will have to come to pass before that time. And the day shall come that the earth shall rest. Before that day, the heavens shall be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth, and the heavens shall shake, and also the earth. And great tribulation shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth, unto a place which I shall prepare, and an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins, and be looking forward to for a time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. Let's continue our service now with the singing of hymn number 155.
Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. We thank you for our building that we have to come and fellowship together to worship. Lord, we pray for those who are not here this morning, that they've been drawn away on other business, some sad, some business for you, Lord. We pray for them all that they may be examples to those that they are with, not stumbling blocks. We pray, Lord, that we may hear a message this morning by a tongue that is unhindered, that is free to speak the words which you would give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
When was the last time you counted your blessings? I don't expect to hear answers out loud, but if I were to ask you what is your greatest blessing in life, what would it be? And what about your second greatest blessing and your third and your fourth? Every night in my nightly prayers, I try to list my greatest blessings and thank the Lord for them. I determined a while back the greatest blessing he has given me is the gospel as restored through Joseph Smith Jr., and that includes the scriptures, the priesthood, the church, and everything. And I think my second greatest blessing is my family. My parents who gave me the gospel, my brother, and my wife and my son. And now we have an opportunity to give back to the Lord. For an offertory scripture, I'd like to read from Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verses 2a through e. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants, and my preface unto the book of my commandments, which I have given them to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore fear and tremble, O ye people, for what I the Lord have decreed in them shall be fulfilled. And verily I say unto you that they who go forth bearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, to them is power given to seal both on earth and in heaven, the unbelieving and rebellious. Yea, verily, to seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure, unto the day when the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work, and measure to every man according to the measure which he has measured to his fellow man. Will you bow with me? Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all the wondrous blessings which thou hast so generously bestowed upon us. And now as we give back a portion to thee, help us realize that all that we have and all that we are belongeth to thee, and what we give today is but a portion of what we owe. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I want to welcome you too, also in the name of the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. It's been a journey for us as we moved this last year, and the congregation I came from was quite small, and it seems strange to stand here and speak to so many, because I've always spoken to such a small crowd in the last. However, I got to tell you that they had the same problem. They like to sit in the back too, and I kind of fooled them. I started taking chairs out of the back, so they had to get a little closer. But I thank you for coming today, and I hope that what the Lord has placed on my mind will be of good to you, that you will receive of it in the light that it was given. And out of the Ephesians, the third chapter, I will read for you, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit and in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know that the love of Christ, which passes us knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, worketh unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen."
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of our redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to
Thank you, Megan. We could almost go home now. We've heard a sermon sung from above. Thank you very much. I always start my preaching by reading Second Nephi, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy my performance might be for the welfare of thy soul. Will you bow with me? O God, the eternal heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, we come this day seeking, desiring, hoping for thy spirit to fill us and delight us with the word that you have placed upon my lips, that they might be from above, and that they might penetrate the hearts of all those that come, that they might be lifted up in joy and happiness in that spirit. For truly thy kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in thy spirit. And we give praise and honor and glory to thy Son this day, and hope for the blessing of thy spirit, that we have come prepared to listen and hear, that we might open our spiritual eyes and ears, that we might give praise and honor and glory to thee. Father, we thank thee and we ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. You know, I had the opportunity to speak at my own branch a couple of weeks ago. And don't worry, this is not going to be the same sermon if you heard it before. But we talked about the five senses, how we learn and how we understand. We learn by seeing. We learn by smell. We learn by hearing. We learn by feeling, touching. We learn by tasting. And there, that's the five senses that we learn by. But I say to you, there also is a sixth sense that we learn by. And I know you've heard many people say from time to time, excuse me, that there is a sixth sense. They have a feeling about something. They're not sure what it is, but they do recognize it. And I'm sure all of you that have made a covenant in the waters of baptism know that that's the Holy Spirit I'm talking about. For that is our sixth sense. That is what leads us into righteousness, leads us to do good. It leads us to better understanding. It leads us in all things when we give it a good home. I was always telling the kids that were baptized that you need to give that Holy Spirit a good home when you receive it. For if you don't give it a good home, you won't have as great a feeling of that Spirit as you do when you give it a good home. In the Scriptures, the 59th verse, 5a, and it pleaseth God that he's given all these things unto man, for unto this were they made, to be used with judgment, not to excess, neither by extortion. For in nothing did man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things, and obey not his commandments. We have a work to do. We have to learn what that Holy Spirit is, and keep it in our hearts and our minds, that we might use it for the good of all, that it may teach us the Scriptures. And as we read and expound on the Scriptures and learn to understand them, you will receive that Spirit, and that Spirit will teach us whether it's true or not. And we wouldn't have so much confusion today in the church and in other churches if they just knew the Holy Spirit, if they just understood that blessing that it has for us. That great burning in our bosom, burning in our hearts as it teaches us all good things. I'll give you an example of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just in us that have received it through baptism, but there is a greater portion for us that received it in baptism. I shared this on a Wednesday night prayer service. And I had an experience with a young man. And I had been working late, and as I told him that day, I don't like to miss my supper. I get kind of testy when I miss my supper. So I was at McDonald's waiting in line patiently for all the cars to clear out in front of me. And about the time I was going to pull into the lane, somebody pulled in front of me. Well, it was a warm day and we had our windows down, and I kind of hollered at him. I says, "Hey, the line's back there. It's not out there." And he started to argue with me. And immediately the Holy Spirit restrained me. It's taught me a long time ago, you'll get nowhere arguing with someone. So I said, "Go ahead, that's okay. That's all right, go ahead." And he did, and I could see he was talking to somebody in a car in front of me. I couldn't see who it was. I don't know if it was his wife or friend or whatever. And they were having a good conversation, I could tell. And so he went ahead, and I went ahead, and I got up to the order thing, and I ordered, and you go on up front to pay. And as I got up front where I was going to pay, the attendant there said, "Your meal has been paid for." That young man apparently recognized his wrong and has a moment of conscience, the Holy Spirit. And what was beautiful about it was the attendant that was taking the money. It had touched her also. I could see it in her face that she had been touched by the Spirit also. So I went on, got my dinner, and I went on down the highway, and I could see that the man had slowed down and wanting me to catch up with him. So at the next light, I did catch up with him, and I was in the opposite lane. Unfortunately, my truck window won't roll down on the right side anymore, so he was wanting to talk to me. But he smiled and waved at me, and I could see that he was wanting the recognition that he had bought my meal. And I helped my meal up, and I waved at him, you know, and he went on his way. He turned off. You know, the Holy Spirit had touched three of us at that moment. It touched me to refrain me from my anger. It touched him because he knew that he was in the wrong. And it touched that lady in McDonald's that was taking the money because she understood what he had done. And it was a great blessing to all three of us. You know, the Spirit works like that in many ways and many times. Another example I'll give you, you think we eat out all the time, it was at Wendy's, and it was a few weeks later. And we went into Wendy's, there was only one man in front of us, and we were both looking at the menu, and he went ahead and ordered had his order, and we stepped in line to order our meal. And the lady at the register says, "Your meal's been paid for." So I guess you want to go with me from dinner from now on, huh? Well, you know, we immediately thought, well, you know, we don't really need somebody to pay for our meal. But once again, the Spirit restrained us. And we recognized that we had to accept a gift. This young man, for whatever reason it was, had a need to buy our dinner. And so we accepted his gift graciously and told him thank you very much. And he went on his way and we had our meal. But you know, the Spirit works with all of us in that way. That's a pretty simple example, I realize that. But isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that the simple example in our lives that we need to recognize Christ in our lives? And what did it say in 59? "In nothing doth a man defend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things and obey not his commandments." So you see, brothers and sisters, we need that Spirit in our lives at all times. We need to keep it and hold it and cherish it. For it will teach us all things that we need to do. It will guide us in our daily walk. It will help us not to be angry. It will help us in this world of sin that lies around us. It will help us to understand and know that we need to prepare for the kingdom to come. It will help us to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For that is its witness. And it will testify that he is the Son of God. And he is the Son of a God. And he is alive today and he's well. He delights in showing us all things. He delights in coming to us in our darkest hour. And I know there's many that have dark hours. He delights in coming to us when we don't even know it. And yet we'll recognize it when he does come. Sometimes we ask in prayer, sometimes we do not. Sometimes he comes anyway. You know, if you know me and my story, and many of you I know you do because you prayed for me. You prayed for me when I had cancer. I had a very grievous cancer. In fact, it's a cancer so rare, there's only 640 cases in the United States in a year's time. Very rare, very aggressive. But my doctor told me that because it's so aggressive, it's treatable. He says, I can treat you and I can heal you. Well, I know he couldn't heal me, but I know God could. And the saints' prayers went out and the saints prayed. And for the 6 months that I underwent chemotherapy, I had very little discomfort. I had very little pain. I had very little of anything that would bother you a whole lot other than the fact that I couldn't go out and do the things I wanted to do, which my things are building things, working on woodworking projects, working in metal and those things like that, and working around the farm. But those are my things. Those aren't God's things. I think probably God has a work for me besides that, and I think he's been trying to tell me that. In fact, I would liken that experience to the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap you read about in Malachi. For he was refining me, teaching me, and showing me. What did he teach me? One of the things that I had in my life was fear. I'll back up a little bit. My son Joe came up to the hospital, of course, went immediately when he heard. And he had the Spirit had worked with him, and he said, Dad, I think you need to be administered to, and not just one time, but seven times. So I know you know the stories in the scriptures about the man that had leprosy and went down in the water and was dipped seven times, and he came out healed. Well, it's a similar thing that had come to my son. And I was administered to seven times. And although I've never shared this with him, I hope he'll listen to this sermon on tape, and he will find out that the reason that I was ministered to seven times, because I had seven sins in my life. Sins of death. Sins that would cause us all to cringe. It will cause us all to fail if we continue with those sins in our life. And I'll teach you those sins. The sin was fear. My fear was that the sins were too grievous that I had that the Lord couldn't forgive me. That was not the case. In fact is, I know we're supposed to go to the people we sin against and ask forgiveness. And in some cases you can. But in a lot of cases you can't. Those are the sins you must confess before the Lord and know that he will heal you from them because you have confessed them. And that's all he's ever asked us to do is confess our sins. And he will forgive you. And each time I asked, the Lord forgave me. And he made it such a joy and a happiness that I had confessed that sin. Another was anger. Anger was a problem of mine for years past. I kind of got over it a little bit. But I learned what anger is. Anger is the Holy Spirit trying to knock on your door and say, you're out of line. And we rebel against that spirit, and we become angry. So if you have anger, you're rebelling against God. You're rebelling against His Holy Spirit that's trying to teach you something different. So I pray that you will look in your lives and see what your problem is. Another anger I had was self-centeredness and selfishness. I was always doing my thing. I didn't neglect my family. I didn't neglect other people. I was nice to people. I helped them in some ways. But I was always doing my thing. God didn't call me to do my thing. He called me to preach the gospel. I was baptized when I was about 11 years old. I was in the church for all those years. I missed out on all the commotion, which I'm glad I did, because I didn't go. But as I retired and came back to the center place, I told the Lord, it's my desire that you use me, you teach me, you show me the way. And he did. He showed me the way. And he brought me into the gospel and brought me into the priesthood. And so here I am today. Another thing I had in my life was pride. You read about it all the time in the Book of Mormon. Pride is the downfall of nearly all men, because we like to think we can do it of ourselves, that we don't need the Lord's help. I wouldn't be here today speaking to you if I didn't have the Lord's help. You couldn't have gotten me up in front of an audience when I was young, for no way. I would have drugged my feet, and you'd have never gotten me up there. But as the Lord tuned me and honed me, He gave me a job that I had to learn to get up in front of people and do a little bit of speaking. And then He gave me the opportunity to speak under people about His gospel and His kingdom. It's not necessarily any easier, but the subject is easy. The subject is wonderful. Another thing I had, I was critical of others. I didn't have love in my heart. In other words, I had a lack of charity. We all need to have charity for others, for our brothers and sisters. Another thing I didn't have was humility. You know, humility, I'm not sure if we all understand what it is. It's not saying, woe is me, oh, I'm so evil, and I'm so down, and I'm so this, or I'm so that. But I got to find this. I'm seeing a Heidelman. I thought I had it marked. Heidelman's second chapter, 31st verse. How do you get humility? These were people in the church in the days of Heidelman. And this is what they were doing. And the church was having some success in those days. And they were blessed to have many souls added to the church in his time. And in the second chapter, the 31st verse, it says, nonetheless, they did fast and pray oft, did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, and filling their souls with joy and consolation. Yea, even to the purifying and the sanctifying of their souls, of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts to God. That's how we become humble. We yield our heart to God. We let Him take that Holy Spirit and cleanse us and refine us. Another thing, I almost guess, I'm not sure how many of you will know, that this is a sin. But it is a grievous sin. Unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. He told Oliver Cowdery, and I'm not sure I can find it right away, so I won't, I'll just paraphrase it. Basically, he told Oliver Cowdery that his unbelief was keeping him from being able to translate the scriptures. How many of us share in that unbelief? I know you're not, you wouldn't be all unbelievers, or you wouldn't believe in God, or you wouldn't believe in the gospel. But how many of us believe how great God is, and how much His Spirit can guide us and direct us, that He can send us along a pathway of righteousness, that we might be able to embrace the scriptures and read them and understand them, that the Spirit would teach us those things. Unbelief is a grievous sin. Now, going on to talk to you about the gospel and the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in that Holy Spirit that He talked about in days of old. And He told His disciples to preach that gospel. Excuse me. Hard to read when your eyes are watering. I'll tell you a little story about your eyes watering. And my grandson's not here, so I don't think it'll embarrass him. But you all know Isaac. And when I was in the hospital bed, the family came up, and Isaac was sitting on the bench next to his grandma looking at me, and they just had talked about how sick I was. And Isaac had tears in his eyes. And he looked up at his grandma, and he says, "Grandma, I'm not crying. My eyes are just leaking." So during that time of my trials and troubles, I found it pretty advantageous to let your eyes leak a little bit. And I think you'll find the same joy when you let your eyes leak a little bit. I think we can all stand a little leaking. You all know the story of the 10 virgins. You all know that 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 did not. And I think you all recognize that those 5 of the oil and lamps was the Holy Spirit. They had taken the Holy Spirit for the guide. And when the bridegroom came, they went out with the bridegroom. And he recognized them. And those 5 that didn't have the Holy Spirit, the Lord didn't recognize them. They tried to borrow it from one that did have. But you can't borrow the Holy Spirit. It's personal. It's part of your makeup and part of your character. It's a part of Jesus Christ. And you carry within you the Spirit of Christ, especially if you've been baptized. That Holy Spirit that will guide and direct you and help you all throughout all your life. And brothers and sisters, there will be no kingdom without the Holy Spirit in your life. For you see, the kingdom is the Holy Spirit. Zion will be if we all take upon us the Holy Spirit and keep it in our lives. And then when we have these arguments and these discussions and these things that prevent us from having the kingdom, we'll find that we'll give up our self. We'll give up our anger. We'll give up our unbelief. We will have charity for one another. The gospel of the kingdom, this Zion that we talked about, all God has done is waited for centuries for a society of believers whose fellowship would be so moving, whose faith would be so sure, whose wisdom so profound, that the kingdom of heaven would be established on earth. Is that not what we're talking about? The kingdom of heaven? And blessed are they who seek forth to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they'll be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whosoever shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains they shall be. That's out of 1 Nephi. We can have that kingdom. And we can have it now. But we first have to change our lives and our hearts. We have to yield to that prompting of that Spirit. I can't tell you the great peace and joy that came over me while I was in the hospital. The great peace and joy of, surpasses all understanding. And it didn't make any difference whether I died or I would be with my Savior. And if it was unto life, that was okay too. For you see, He gives us those great joys and happiness when we follow the promptings of that Spirit. the Father has so many blessings to pour out upon us. And it's not about houses and cars and jobs. It's about joy and happiness in that spirit. I guess there's... Maybe you're still saying, how do we get that spirit? Of course, you know you get it in baptism, but you have to give it a good home. I've had many people, many good friends of mine, actually. Many of them in the priesthood. It says they didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a tragedy that is. They say they search the Scriptures, but they don't understand them. I tell them to ponder the Scriptures. Ask God in the name of Christ if these things are true. Ask with a sincere heart. Ask with real intent, having faith in Christ. And I'll guarantee you those Scriptures will come alive in your life, in the lives of others and those around you, because you will begin to act out the gospel of Christ. You will become as He is. After all, isn't that what the Holy Spirit is? Is not Christ the mind and will of God? Is the mind of God not the Holy God, the gospel you've been talking about in your class? And we'll continue to talk more about it. Brothers and sisters, my prayer this day that you will take upon you the name of Christ. And when you take that sacrament cup next Sunday, that you'll be prepared to receive of that which is to be given. That you will take that Spirit to be your guide for all eternity. Make that your New Year's resolution. Don't worry about losing weight and doing all that other stuff. It'll fall into place by itself when you confess your sins before God. When you take upon that Spirit for your guide. It was a joy and privilege to come before you today. I pray that the message was received in the light that was given. And I pray that Holy Spirit touched your heart this day. And that you will go home with a firm desire to seek always the will of God in your life and in the lives of others. Praise God, and glory be unto the Son. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come at the close of this hour, having sat under the ministry of our brother, and as we have been given this message today of those things that beset us in our own lives, that keep us at a distance from you, O Lord, we pray that we will ponder in our own hearts and mind those things that we know that we must remove from our lives so that we will have a closer walk with thee. Father, we pray for those who are struggling here with illnesses and concerns of health, that you would bless each of them and comfort them as well. And guide us always in our daily activities, that we would be mindful of those about us that stand in need, that we might be an instrument in your hand to lead or guide or direct them in some fashion. So bless us all now as we depart and as we consider the services that will come this night, that your Spirit might once again attend us there and be here again in abundance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.